You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. If you gamble, use your game sense. Visit GameSenseAB.ca to find out more.
Tom, thanks for doing this today. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic, Connor Halley. I need a nap, but no sleep for the wicked, my friend. We keep grinding. We just hustle around here. You know how it is.
I'm with you. A nap would be fantastic, but we can get to that later, maybe in a couple hours. Lots to get to on the show today and lots to talk about with you, but I want to bring up the news yesterday, and it was unfortunate news as Ben Stelter passing away after a battle with cancer, a guy who, you know, I think maybe just really helped people's perspective on life with what he was going through and, you know, how he handled everything. Obviously became a big inspirational point for the Edmonton Oilers and the fan base, and someone that everyone kind of grew to love in the last 6 months since his story had been kind of released and been told to us. And unfortunately, you and I pre-taped yesterday's interview, so when it got to air, we had not known about the terrible news as of yet. So just your thoughts on Ben Stelter and, you know, the unfortunate news and all that he meant to the people of Edmonton and the hockey world in general.
First, I'll start with condolences to the Stelter family. Honestly, everybody that Ben touched in his life, condolences to them as well, because this is very sad. And, you know, that kind of came at us in the form of a gut punch yesterday. And you know, it was just a nice summer day, and the news was put out by his dad. We saw the tweet, and I think, you know, I feel like many of us who saw it, when we saw it, had the same reaction, just instant sadness. So you're seeing the reaction today. You're seeing the positivity the memory of Ben is bringing to the forefront. Some smiles. Obviously, there's been tears. I did the oil stream with Dusty Nielsen, and we did the whole show on Ben today. And you could tell even Dusty's got two young kids, healthy, happy, and he said how fortunate he was to have them. Couldn't imagine going through the situation that the Stelters did. And I thought a lot of people reading the text line on the Nielsen show today when I filled in kind of echoed the same sentiments that Dusty had. It's sad, man. But on a positive note, I have never seen a crowd in the arena get as fired up as they did whenever Ben was on the screen. That was amazing. It added to what was an amazing atmosphere inside the building during a fun time for the team. It's so hard for people to crack the shell of a pro hockey team, especially one in a Canadian market where things are tough. And Ben slid right in there. He felt like he was one of the guys. They welcomed him in, embraced him and with open arms. You saw him leading press conferences during the playoffs. They gave him the player of the game helmet and jacket or vest. And he did make an impact. He truly did. It was very special and profound. And, you know, you're seeing the reaction from the hockey world, other teams that played against the Oilers, that are showing their appreciation, admiration for Ben Stelter. So this is an oil country story. It's one to be proud of, a reminder of how fragile life can be, and a super sad day, but, you know, a lot of great memories. I'll always remember him giggling, of course, him saying, "Play La Bamba, baby." And now I think that song is also associated with Ben Stelter, while it also helps us remember Joey Moss. So two great, great people in oil country that song makes us remember, and just honestly cute kid and brought all of us together.
100%. Yeah, very well said, Tom. And I mean, I think he'll never be forgotten in this city. You know, the impact that he had not only on the hockey team, but the hockey world and everyone in this town. And I'm telling you, next year, you know, when the Oilers win a game and there's that clip of him saying, "Play La Bamba, baby," and then La Bamba starting, the crowd's going to go crazy. And he'll never be forgotten. And like you said, just to reiterate, condolences to the Stelter family. A terrible loss, and everyone's thinking of them for sure. Tom, let's just turn our attention to another thing that's going on in the hockey world down at the Ice District. The World Juniors in Canada obviously picked up the big 5-2 win victory over Latvia yesterday. Your thoughts on the game?
I thought that Canada eased its way into the game yesterday, and letting Latvia stick around a little bit longer than you might be comfortable with. Granted, it's the first game of the tournament for the Canadians. The Latvians had played the day before. They put up an okay fight against the Finns. The Finns are going to be another force to be reckoned with again in this tournament. And so I kind of understand going into the second period tied 1-1. Probably not the way you want to do it, ideally. But, you know, this isn't going to be a perfect tournament by any means for any one of these countries and these teams. And in the second period, they took advantage of some undisciplined play by the Latvians and capitalized on a couple power plays. You saw that play by Ridley Gregg. Nice cheeky goal with the little one-hander through the wickets. And that kind of paved the way to victory. I know the teams traded goals in the third period, but strong second, decent third after maybe not an ideal first period. So they got the job done. And we're talking about Canada's depth being tested here. You know, not all of the best junior eligible Canadian players are on this team at this tournament this go round. But we always brag about how deep the Canadian roster could be, how we can ice two Canadian teams and they could both compete for gold. Now we're seeing that in action. You get past that first hurdle, they refocus and take a look at a Slovakian team that's coming off a really intriguing, interesting game against Czechia. And the Slovaks are going to be a stiffer test, Connor. So you build up here, I think.
Yeah. Losing a 5-4 on Tuesday. Certainly will be a tough test tonight for Team Canada. Now, I got to go back and ask you about a guy who's going to garner a lot of attention, and deservedly so. He had a goal and an assist in the game. Likely the number one pick in the 2023 draft, Connor Bedard. What did you think of his game?
Well, he picked up where he left off. He scored the first goal for them. A wicked shot. Man, that guy, for not the biggest guy, he can fire the puck. And I know a lot was made about him using a 70 flex. Brett Hull used to use a 75. I think he used a classic Easton Ultralight back in the day. Maybe it was a Z-bubble by the time he retired. If you remember the old two-piece sticks, which I do fondly with the wooden blade. And you know, Brett Hull made it work with a whippy stick. And Connor Bedard's getting it done. And they showed a few replays of just him firing the puck and the amount of torque he gets on that stick. It's like a slingshot. So I was impressed by that. He got the goal. He looked good. Made a nice play on the power play marker, the first one in that second period. So, yes, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with on that top line with Mason McTavish. And you expect them to kind of carry the load offensively. Not to say that the Canadians don't have depth. They absolutely do. But enjoy the show that Connor Bedard puts on, because you know, maybe just one more year of him at the junior level. Maybe he plays for Canada in Halifax at the World Juniors in a few months, which is still very weird to comprehend and understand, and will be weird to see after we finish up this tournament. But they're going to rely on him. He's not the 13th forward anymore like he was in December, Connor Halley.
Certainly not. Tom Gazzola joining us here on the Jason Gregor Show. It is the Chronicles. And Tom, I'm going to jump ahead to Saturday. Different sport. Totally throw you for a loop here. Of course, the Edmonton Elks in action. It's been a up and down season. More downs than ups. But it should be pretty cool when the team does a little inducting into their Wall of Honor. Running back Jim Germany, Joe Holloman, defensive back, another defensive back, Ed Jones, guys who won 5 Grey Cups with the Eskimos at the time from 1978 to 1982. I love Rider games because their fan base just shows up, and it really adds to the environment down at Commonwealth. When you look at this game, and we'll probably talk about it tomorrow as well, but do you like the Elks in this one at all?
I do. I mean, I know a lot of people were down on the Elks after that loss to BC. I get it, rightly so. A lot of pinpointing what the problems are, and you know, we talked a lot, especially on the Elks post-game show, myself and Jeff Walker, because I was filling in for Maddie, you know, we're saying, hey, the roster turnover, that's unhealthy. But, you know, Chris Jones is trying to find guys who can make an impact, find guys who are playmakers and do it consistently until this team finally rounds into form. And this whole season is going to be a process. I'm not making the excuse for the Elks. We just have to understand that this team was ripped down to the studs and is slowly, methodically being built back up. And at some point, you know, they're going to get a quarterback who is going to be able to make plays consistently, understands, knows how to read the defenses in the CFL, can find a rhythm. I don't think Taylor Cornelius is necessarily the guy. He's had some good moments. Maybe it's Trey Ford when he gets another look. We'll see, but this is a process. I do think, though, they have a good chance at beating a Riders team that has struggled of late, hasn't won in a few weeks, and all of a sudden is 4-4. So, on paper, you know, the Elks aren't the better team, but they're at home. Here's an opportunity to snap that ugly home losing streak that dates back to October of 2019. And you do it on a night where you honor three of your greats, which I think is fantastic. And hopefully there's a good crowd. And usually the juices are flowing when Riders fans are here, and you see that shade of green at Commonwealth. There's the chirps. If it's a nice hot day, the beers will be flowing. Hopefully people keep it cool, calm, and collected in the stands so we don't see too many brouhahas, because I'd like to see no brouhahas. Just on the field would be fine. But I do think the Elks have an opportunity in these next 3 weeks, Connor, to pick up a win or two, and hopefully it starts off with one on Saturday night, and I think that chance is there.
I would love to see that happen, Tom. I think a lot of people in this town would really enjoy it, especially, like you said, if the weather's nice, the beers are flowing. It's always a good atmosphere down at Commonwealth. I think we'll probably dive into that a little bit tomorrow in the Chronicles. Strutty will be back, so he's a Rider guy at heart, I think. He's probably got a little conflict. I think his family. He's family.
He's Elkman,
but he's also got family that, you know, and he's admitted it. He's cheered for the Riders in the past.
He's so soft.
I think he needs to be Elkman with some watermelons, like, squished on the horns, you know? On the rack.
That's a good look. He would do that. I think if we discuss that with him tomorrow on the Chronicles, he might be up for it.
I think something we definitely have to do. Tom, awesome event going on in Major League Baseball today. We've got the Field of Dreams. The Reds taking on the Cubbies. A really cool event last year. Glad that they're going to do it again this year, but it might not happen in 2023.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they're developing the area around it. They're building, like, youth ballparks. So the MLB doesn't necessarily want to be hosting a game and staging a game there while there's construction underway. And of all people, Frank Thomas is one of the owners of the land where the Field of Dreams field and the set is. I thought it was super cool last year to watch the players come in from the cornfield, mm-hmm. and you get all the imagery, and they had, like, the drone fly through the farmhouse from the movie. I thought that was awesome, and it's cool that they're doing it again this year, but I'm okay with them not doing it next year and maybe even taking another year off, because, like we see with the outdoor games, Connor, like, there's a certain novelty, and the novelty wears off if you keep going to the well time and time again. So, yeah, do it again this year. I love the story Joey Votto shared about the movie Field of Dreams and what it meant to him. And at the end, you know, Kevin Costner's character having a catch, which I still think is a weird way to say playing catch, with his dad, and how that resonates with people to this day. And Joey Votto in particular, who unfortunately lost his dad, I think he said, 14 years ago, and why it's significant to him. So to be able to play a game on that field where that movie was shot, I think that's special. But after this year, okay, you get a little bit of a breather from it. Come back to it a few years down the road and make it one of those special things that you don't just go to time and time again. So I can kind of appreciate that, even if the reasoning is because there's going to be construction in and around that area for a youth baseball complex, which, again, adds to the legacy of all of this. I think that's a good thing.
And I'm with you. Like, I look at the stadium series in the NHL, like, it's, I feel like it's cool if you're there, but for me, the give a, you know what, level's kind of dwindled in the last few years, because it's just like the same few teams get it every year. I'd love to see one game in Canada, maybe, you know, transfer around all the Canadian markets, and I think that could be cool. You know, we'll see what the NHL does going forward. I know the Oilers will get one this year, but yeah. I'm with you. Like, a game every couple of years really adds to the mystique of it, especially the Field of Dreams, just how cool it is. I don't think we want to overdo it, so I am totally with you. A couple of years off, I think we'll only make it better long-term. Tom Gazzola joining us here in the Chronicles. Tom, let's go back to the NHL, and for the Vegas Golden Knights and Robin Lehner, not good news.
No, looks like he's going to miss the season. And you already had question marks with this Golden Knights team after they missed the postseason for the first time in their franchise history. Overly aggressive, and now it's coming back to bite them in the butt. They clearly chose the wrong goalie when they traded away Marc-Andre Fleury. Well, trade away is a nice way to put it. They gave him away to the Blackhawks for a non-prospect who they basically outright waived immediately after acquiring him or shortly after acquiring him. And Robin Lehner down for the count. He got injured again last year. Tough one, man. But if you're the other teams in the Pacific Division, there's no mercy. You are not feeling any sort of sympathy for the Vegas Golden Knights. And quite honestly, I don't think a lot of people around the league are either with the hot start that this franchise has gotten off to. But Connor, this might be a rough year in Vegas. Who are they going to rely on between the pipes? Logan Thompson? Is he really ready to become a starter every day, 60 games in a season at the NHL level? I know he had some really good games for the Golden Knights last year, certainly proved his worth in the AHL, but man, you look at the UFA goaltending list, it is not good. And they're already fighting it when it comes to the cap. Yes, they'll get LTIR with Leonard's 5 mil, but geez, Connor Halley, the news gets worse for the Vegas Golden Knights, and I feel like teams like the Oilers and the Flames and Canucks and Kings, Sharks, and Ducks are going, oh, really? That's too bad.
Do you think we should be more critical of Kelly McCrimmon and the job he's done since taking over for George McPhee? Like, there's been trades, and then, you know, he's had to clear house just basically giving guys a way to create cap space. Now you've got this where, in hindsight, he picked the wrong goaltender. Like, does Kelly McCrimmon deserve to be criticized a little bit more?
Yes. Three coaches in 6 years now?
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. And I don't think George McPhee is absolved of any guilt either. I mean, the two of them work hand in hand. And I think when Kelly McCrimmon was being courted by other teams when he was the assistant GM, I just think that they bumped him up and McPhee got a bumped up role as well. And I still think that the two of them are working together. Absolutely, there should be some blame. If they miss the postseason again, who does it fall on? Who's left to blame? That's been there the entire time. George McPhee and Kelly McCrimmon. Only a handful of players are left from that inaugural season. They've changed so many parts of this team. If they don't succeed this year, who do you point the finger at, Connor? It's the GM and the guy that's the president of hockey ops, and that's George McPhee and Kelly McCrimmon. Absolutely, if they struggle this year, those are the guys you point to. However, there's a caveat there. Those guys aren't in control of injury situations. But what led to those injuries and who they chose to have on the team, 100%.
Yeah, they would be the common denominator there. And you're right, like, we praise them for all the work they did to start things off. But, man, I feel like that's those few years ago. And they've made a lot of questionable moves since. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. And you're right, the benefactor, the rest of the Pacific Division, the Oilers probably not too sympathetic for them. Tom, Slovakia, Canada, puck drop just after 4 o'clock. The game will be on TSN 1260. Andrew Peard and Jason Strudwick have the call. Pre-game coverage getting going shortly here, 3:30. Do you have a prediction?
I think this is going to be a tight game, but I think Canada prevails 4-2. It's a 3-2 game with an empty netter for the Canadians, so I think it'll be a good one. I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of challenge the Slovaks present. I think they'll be a tough one to face tonight. And if you are listening to the game on our station and you have it on the TV and you happen to have a computer nearby, check out the IIHF website and hit Virtual Arena. You can watch me walk around a green screen set that looks really good. We're going to have Jack Campbell on today from the Oilers. He's our guest.
Jack Campbell. So very quickly, I mean, you did it yesterday. How did it go? What can fans expect?
Basically, it's just added content. And in the virtual arena, there's games, there's stats. There is the live show element, which is great. We do interviews. We've got some quirky videos, some fun stuff with Canadian players, you know, superstitions. It's called Junior to Junior. It's kids playing hockey across the country. We're able to ask their favorite players some of their most burning questions. Yesterday's superstitions was one of them. favorite pregame meal. You know, the good stuff. And the players like to have fun with it. So it's an added content screen-in-screen experience. And if you have a chance, give it a look-see. You'll see yours truly there with Jack Campbell today.
Well, I mean, I think that alone is worth tuning in. Tom, thanks so much for doing this today. We'll talk to you tomorrow and enjoy the game.
Ciao for now, Connor Halley.